Hello and welcome to A Slice of Life for your dose of DIY motivation. I'm Eugene Lowe. Thanks for joining me. And you might have heard of the joke about the couple who were happily in love until they got married. Well, it's much less amusing when it happens for real, and we've seen this happen time and again. You know, I mean, during the courtship, it's all wonderful, sparks fly, they think, oh, this is the one for me, and, you know, you love everything about your partner, even his or her quirks and flaws, and you just overlook all the negative things, and all you can see is a beautiful rose-tinted version of your partner. But then, you know, fast forward a couple of years, and then you get married, and then, you know, the cracks start to show. And so today we're talking about, you know, during the preparation of a wedding, couples normally focus on, you know, having a grand, and these days, they want to be very unique as well, you know, instead of planning for, you know, the life together. And it can be said that, you know, they are victims of romantic novels and movies, this idealization of how love and marriage should be. But actually, marriage is a partnership, and getting married is choosing a way of life. It needs two hands to clap, you know, supporting, sustaining each other, providing a basis for a couple to nurture the relationship. And telling us more about life after I do is my guest today, Dr. Ang Beng Chu, who has over 30 years of experience in education. After her retirement, she has been and is still a marriage solemnizer and advisor to some organizations, and she is frequently invited by local and overseas organizations to give talks and lectures on personal development, marriage, children, education, and life at old age as well. And today, more about making the marriage work after the wedding. Hi, Dr. Ang. Welcome to 938 Live.
Thank you, Eugene.
Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Yes. There is this concept that many, you know, young couples these days, they want to have this very unique and very grand wedding. And so all their energy, all their resources, everything is channeled towards this big event, thinking that, you know, if there's a fantastic wedding, that the marriage will work. Or, you know, we often go into a marriage or relationship with our eyes closed. We think, we just take it for granted that, you know, if I love you and you love me, that love conquers all, right?
Yes.
But it's love is sometimes not enough.
Mm.
Yeah?
Agree.
Yeah. So tell us first about this, your experience with this, you know, the idea of having this very unique wedding and how that overshadows everything else.
Yes, normally couples will do that.
Yeah.
Yes, they plan for the wedding rather more than planning for life after marriage. So I went to one marriage solemnization. So to my surprise, I met the couples at the gate of a club. So the groom is in a swimming trunk and bride in bikinis, holding one piece swimming suit in hand. That's for me.
Oh,
and they told me that they would like their solemnization in the pool. So they would like me to change my costume.
Oh gosh, did you?
I didn't.
Okay.
So I had to think of a way to escape.
Yeah.
So, no, they told me, they say because they knew each other in a swimming lesson, that's why they would like it to be there.
Mm.
And they spoke to me in Mandarin, and they say, we want to be 永浴爱河. 永浴爱河 means that they want to soak themselves in the pool of love forever. In love forever.
Right.
So,
okay.
So I saw the table floating in the swimming pool. So I told them, no, you can't do that because all the documents may get wet. So they asked me what to do. Yeah. So I told them, don't worry, we can do it at the poolside. And after that, after the solemnization, I will push both of you into the pool. So you will have the love forever in the pool. And luckily they agreed to it. And then I saved myself from wearing a costume to do a solemnization.
Right. Of course, there's an amusing story, but then it illustrates, you know, how people tend to really focus on the wedding itself, you know, and not really planning for life together. Because, you know, loving someone and or being in love with someone is very different from, you know, actually living together.
You know? Correct. Because normally, you know, the bride and the groom, they are from different backgrounds and they have their own habits and hobby.
Mm.
So to live under one roof needs time and effort to readjust and compromise. Mm. And it is not an easy task.
Mm.
No wonder the law stipulates that a person could only get married at 21 years old, but should go for army, should go for NS when you are 18.
Yeah.
You see, it is easier to handle enemies than a spouse.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I was thinking that, you know, actually after marriage, a couple is just like a pair of chopsticks, which cannot function without mutual support and cooperation. If both parties could not perform well, they will face a lot of problems. No wonder there is a saying that marriage is a three-ring affair. It first comes the engagement ring, then the wedding ring, then the suffering.
Oh, gosh.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, because many couples, they have this type of marriage myth.
Yeah.
The myth of...
We have this romanticized version of our relationship.
And they think that, you know, marriage, love can conquer all.
Yes.
However, marriage is when a man and a woman become as one.
Mm-hmm.
And they live under one roof, become as one.
Yeah.
And the trouble starts when they try to decide which one.
Right, okay, yeah. Because you're really talking about two very different individuals coming together and trying to forge a life together.
Correct.
And, you know, before the marriage, before the wedding, very often we can overlook a lot of things, you know. I mean, it's almost like we see our partner through rose-tinted lenses, and everything he or she does is funny, it's adorable, and after that it starts to be irritating, infuriating, you know.
Yes, and the shortcoming will be enlarged after marriage.
Yeah, So these are things that are inevitable, you know.
Yes.
Once a couple gets into a relationship, how can we then, you know, try and preempt some of the problems that these?
Yes, the first thing probably we have to think of is that never try to change the characters of your spouse. That's what Chinese saying. It is easier to reshape a mountain or a river, redirect a river. But it's very difficult to change a person's character.
Yeah.
Because a person's character has been cultivated for many years. And it is not easy to change. And if we have high expectations in changing them, then it will cause a lot of disappointment.
Sure. I mean, we don't like others to dictate how we should be or behave either, right? Yeah.
Yes. And then, you know, it will be less painful if you lower the expectation.
Right. So loving someone means also being able to love the whole person.
Correct. As a package.
Yes.
Package deal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard that once. There's a saying that goes something like, I mean, there is no perfect love or no perfect person, but it's about loving an imperfect person perfectly. Something like that, right?
Yes,
yeah, because we come with all our flaws, all our different values, our perspectives are different, our belief systems are all different.
Yes,
so
you're
it's
right.
Like, be able to work together, that's the key.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, because you need to compromise. You need to tolerate.
Yeah.
Yes. And then, you know, if you think that, oh, you want to sorrow one party and you want to overcome them and you want to control them, and then we have to think of that. You know?
Right. Okay.
The more you hold your palm tight, the less water you can keep in your palm.
Right. Yes. Yes. So going to a marriage, not thinking that you want to fix your partner or hoping that he or she will change to suit you in some way. So we should get rid of that notion altogether. We're going to continue to chat with Dr. Ang Beng Chu, who's a veteran educator, marriage solemnizer and advisor to some organizations, talking about life after I do here on A Slice of Life R. More in just a while here on 93 Live. I'm Eugene. Do stay with me. We're talking about life after I do, making the marriage work even after the wedding. We talked earlier about how many couples make the mistake of just, you know, going into a marriage, you know, with their eyes closed. were closed, or focusing too much on the wedding, not thinking about planning for life together, and how, you know, it's really difficult. I mean, love does not conquer all, although we have all those romanticized versions in the movies, the Hollywood, romantic comedies, give us a kind of an idea that love or relationship or marriage should be like this. And the moment something doesn't work out, you know, we start to believe very negative things about the relationship. And one of those things is, like we've talked about earlier, Dr. Ang, is how after a marriage, very often we think our spouse doesn't love us anymore. Over time, it fades, yes. And then, you know, they take us for granted and all that. So, why do we, you know, have those kinds of, you know,
because
thoughts?
sometimes before marriage, our spouse always did something for
us.
Yes,
correct. You
but
know,
after
courtship,
that,
right?
No more.
Yeah.
Yes. So we thought that the love has changed.
Yeah.
But actually, love is still the same. But
it just matures into a different stage.
Yeah, because
of the
different stage. And the other thing is that physical situation could be changed.
Mm.
Yeah. So I remember that, you know, there was a story saying that a wife blamed her husband and saying that before marriage, when there was water in front, you normally carry me over. But now, no more. So the husband answered apologetically and said, "My dear, your weight is double of that time. I have no strength to carry you now." So we have to expect this type of changes.
Yes.
And then when the children come, the wife may spend more time taking care of the children.
Yes.
So we cannot complain saying that, you know, why last time you take more care of me?
Yeah.
And now, no.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is the
hubby or
yes,
wife becomes mother and then mama.
Correct. So this is the misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't suspect that.
So that's the thing, you see. I mean, we have to expect that there will be changes, there will be difficulties,
yes.
But that doesn't mean that the relationship or the marriage is not working or it cannot work, right?
Correct.
Because very often we have all these like idealized notions of what a marriage should be, and the moment things start to crack a little, we lose faith in the relationship. Then we stop trying. You know, then we think, oh, you know, that everything stops, the wooing stops, the compliments stop. Yeah,
that's true. This is why if we don't, because of this, we don't have the mutual respect, and then we think, oh, he doesn't love me or she doesn't love me.
Yeah.
Then that's the end of the marriage.
Yeah. He or she used to call you like 20, 30 times a day, and then after the marriage it stops. You know, things like that. Or going
this is
forward,
why positive thinking is very important. Yes, the trust, the positive thinking, it is very, very important for a couple. And if when the trust is shaken, a happy relationship will be cracked.
Right.
Because without trust, suspicions arise.
Yes.
And suspicions generates anger.
Yes.
Anger causes enmity, and enmity may result in separation.
Yes. Yeah. That's why, I mean, you know, sometimes it's the suspicions that cause the strains in the relationship, you know, not that there is anything really happening.
Yes.
Yeah. But, and then when there's enmity as well, and there is aggression, hostility, then you lose that affection for that person, you know.
Correct.
And then sometimes it doesn't work out. Maybe, you know, even physically you may feel the distance, you know, because once you've seen this person really very angry or lashing out at you, sometimes, for some people, it's very difficult for them to get over that psychological barrier and to, to be intimate with that person.
This is why, you know, actually a couple is just like a two-headed bird, which has a common body, there's a family.
Yeah.
So, if one head suspect the other one and do something, although the other head have good intention, and if you suspect the other head is not doing, is doing something to harm you and not sharing good things with you, and you will feel very upset, and you will do something, at last both will be hurt,
correct,
and suffer,
correct. And a lot of that trust also is having that trust that that having faith in the relationship, having faith in your spouse. I mean, you married this person. Obviously, you know, you believe you can work at a life together. So, you know, why allow the negative emotions and suspicions and to come in and destroy the marriage, right? We're chatting today with a veteran educator, marriage solemnizer and advisor to some organizations, Dr. Ang Beng Chu, talking about life after I do. We're going for the news very soon, but do stay with us here on 938 Live. More with Dr. Ang in about 15 minutes. We're talking about life after I do, making the marriage work after the wedding here on 938 Live, a slice of life. I'm Eugene Loh. Thanks for joining me today. And with me in the studio today is a veteran educator, marriage solemnizer and advisor to some organizations, Dr. Ang Beng Chu. Before we hear from Dr. Ang again, I'd like to just share with you this story about a man and a woman who had been married for more than 60 years, and they shared everything. You know, they talked about everything, no secrets from each other, except that the little old woman had a shoebox at the top of a closet that she cautioned her husband never to open or ask her about. You know, so for all these years, he never thought about the box. But one day, the woman got sick, and the doctor said she would not recover. And in trying to sort out their affairs, the old man took down the shoebox and took it to his wife's bedside. And she agreed as well that it was time that he should know, you know, what was in the box. So when he opened it, he found two crocheted dolls and a stack of money totaling $95,000. So he asked about the contents, you know. So she said, you know, when we were to be married, my grandmother told me that the secret of a happy marriage was to never argue. And she told me that if I ever got angry with you, I should just keep quiet and crochet a doll. And the man was so moved, you know, he had to fight back tears, you know, 60 years of marriage living and together, and there were only two dolls in the box. So she had only been angry with him two times in all of those years. He almost burst into tears with happiness. So he asked her, honey, that explains the dolls, but what about all of this money? You know, where did it come from? And she said, well, that's the money I made from selling the other dolls.
Yes,
you know, I mean, so we have to accept, you know, that in the marriage, there will be times when you get angry with your spouse, you know. You're both imperfect individuals trying to carve out a life together. So we have to understand, sometimes give and take, you know what to overlook, you know. Yes. Sometimes people say that. So I'd like to get your thoughts about that. You know, do you think, you know, that the secret of a happy marriage is to never argue?
No, it's not. However, I remember that the second day of my marriage, then my husband asked my father, he said, Dad, you and mom are so-called a happy marriage couple. And could you please share with us the secret? So my father said, yeah, yes, sure, definitely. So he said, when your wife make a mistake or you feel that your wife is very stupid, please don't criticize. Keep your big mouth shut. At the same time, tell yourself, because she is so stupid, she made mistakes. This is why she could not find a better person than I. So, birds of the same feather flock together. So always have to think of that. Then you will think that, I also made the same mistake. Yeah. Why should I know? Fighting back. And then sometimes for the couple.
Yeah.
And if the husband come back late, and then probably, you know, the wife will be very angry and just say that, why so late? I told you how many times you should come back early, but you just ignored it. You think the home is a hotel. And then arguments start.
Yeah.
So if we can change this irritating comments to a more touching way, and then using I instead of you, don't point the finger. When you point the finger at one person, three fingers are quadratically pointing at yourself. So better don't point finger. And this is why. So if you can change it from you to I, and you say, I'm very worried when you are late. I'm afraid to be alone, especially at night. And I will be more relieved you come back earlier.
Yeah.
And your husband will feel that he is such a hero, you see, so important to you. And then, of course, he will think that, yeah, the home is not so bad. Might as well come back earlier.
Yeah.
And then you win your battle.
Yeah.
Because no, when you step back, work.
Exactly.
It is just like you are doing the planting in the paddy field.
Yeah.
So stepping backward doesn't mean that
correct.
You are losing, but
yes.
you are completing your task.
Exactly.
Yes,
yeah.
This is
very
why.
Often we forget that, right? I mean,
yes.
we are not. It's not a debate. It's, you know, when it comes to your loved ones, especially your spouse, it's not about winning an argument. Mm. You know, sometimes losing an argument is actually
correct.
Winning, because then, you know, then positive emotions, the relationship grows, it develops.
Yes. And
yeah.
it is not worthwhile if you win your face to
yeah.
your spouse, but you lose the love.
Correct.
What's the use?
Yeah, yeah. Very often, you know,
yes.
I mean, there is a right way to argue, there's a wrong way to argue. And very often, people allow the negative emotions to get in the way, the anger.
Mm.
And they think, you know, words are just words, but words can hurt a lot.
No.
And some people can get over that, some people can't, you know, and it keeps thinking.
Our mouth is like a bowl. And
it's like a what?
The bowl. Bowl. B-O-W.
It's a bowl.
A bowl.
Okay.
And then our tongue is just like an arrow.
Yes.
When you shoot out any words, it will be just out. You won't be able to draw it back. This is why it is very, very important to take care of those sensitive words.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you throw it out, you are just like knocking the nail onto the wall. When you pull it out, holes are there.
Yeah.
That's why it is very, very important for us when we speak.
Mm.
And then don't try to think that, you know, when I speak and say that, I withdraw my statement. No way.
Mm.
Mm, no way. And then if we say that we have the wrong speech,
yeah.
it is just like, you know, you're spitting towards the sky.
Yeah.
It will fall back on yourself.
Yeah.
This is why it's just like, you know, one husband say, talk to the wife, you know, told the husband, you are so lousy. You are so bad. I would rather marry a demon than you. So, at the end of the quarrel, and the husband say, oh no, close relative cannot get married. You see, exchange of the negative words coming
yeah,
in.
Correct.
And then the next day, they saw a herd of cattle, and the husband pointed at them and jeered his wife. And say that, see, your relatives.
Yeah.
The wife answered, yes, my in-laws. So you can see this type of, keep on exchanging, you know, this unnecessary argument.
Correct, yeah.
It will accumulate.
Yes.
Unpleasantness, you know, unpleasant. And once you, this one increase.
Mm.
And
you know, and your relationship with your spouse is so fragile as well.
Mm.
You know, I mean, sometimes it's even easier to deal with friends. You know,
correct.
With friends you can say all sorts of things, and you know,
yes.
we just take it for granted that, you know, yeah, I mean, if you're close friends, we should be able to say anything.
No.
And but with a spouse, it's you know. It's even more difficult. It's so fragile. And sometimes you say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and then, you know.
Yes. No, even with friends, with spouse and with friends, you can discuss on any topic.
Mm.
But you cannot say anything you like.
Yeah.
Just like cursing language.
Yeah.
Scolding and those, no, teasing. This type of languages, people do not like it.
Name calling.
Yes, name calling
and
put down statements, no? Yeah, that's also not very good.
Yeah, it's all the more important for a spouse or people in a relationship. Or,
yes.
Because they're very easy. Your spouse is more easily hurt, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, it's very difficult to get close or to be intimate after a while, because then, you know, there's all that bad blood that has been you know, created. And
yes.
Yeah.
And this is why, you know, when
so
both
that,
together, they have to be like, you know, doing a tango step forward and backward.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why I suppose that story about the secret of a happy marriage,
it's not that
you can't argue, but
you can
argue. There's a right way to argue, there's a wrong way to argue. You should not let your anger and jealousies or suspicion, insecurities, you know, sully the communication or the argument.
Correct.
You know, yeah.
Especially when we speak, we shouldn't, you know, have emotion coming in. Yeah, but it's very difficult. Easy
yeah, very
to
difficult.
Say, but
yeah,
very difficult.
But that, very is, difficult. That is key. But that is
yes.
key, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, of course, there's so many other things to talk about when it comes to
yes.
marriage, but that's all the time we have for today. So, Dr. Ang, thank you so much
yes,
for coming
you.
In
thank
and sharing,
you very much.
Sharing your perspectives
yeah,
with
thanks,
us.
Thanks, thanks. However, I would like to say,
yeah.
say that actually mm. marriage is a very wonderful game.
Mm.
It is the only game that two can play and both win.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So mm. the only thing is that husband and wife have to put their effort together and to develop it.
Well
thank
said.
You.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ang.
Thank you.
Dr. Ang Bing Chu, who is a veteran educator, marriage solemnizer, and advisor to some organizations, helping us to understand more about how to make a marriage work after the wedding, here on A Slice of Life on 93 Live. I'm Eugene Low. Thank you so much for joining me today.